My guest in this episode of the Misal Podcast is helping blue-collar workers find job opportunities they deserve and get an edge in the job market. His name is Salman Shahid and he's a co-founder of Dost. Find out why he believes Dost is the best platform for blue-collar workers to find jobs and employers to hire qualified candidates. Let's listen in. Welcome to the Misal podcast. Salman, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks, Ayed. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Well, thank you for joining me. Really excited to have you on and learn more about what you're building at Dost. Let's get started with a quick introduction. Please tell me a little bit about yourself and what problem are you trying to solve with Dost?
So I'll just give a bit of context into who I am and what we're trying to build over here at Dost. So I am, by profession, I'm a chartered accountant, but I left that a while ago. I went into consulting and got into a project with a donor-funded skills development agency called the Punjab Skills Development Fund, where we were placing a bunch of their graduates into jobs. And when we got into that program, we realized just how tough it is for a job seeker who is a blue-collar or a gray-collar or vocationally skilled or trained person to actually find employment and how tough it is for employers to actually find these people into jobs. And so what we wanted to build out was a platform where they could access the kind of support that we have as white-collar workers in platforms like LinkedIn. We are incredibly supported in the number of tools that are available to us, in the number of opportunities that are available to us through our own personal networks that we build out where we go to different schools and universities and colleges and workplaces. But our primary user, who is, you know, someone whose father has worked in the government and does not have too many professional connectivities. Secondly, this is someone who is not really able to use LinkedIn because they can't relate to the language, the kind of content, the kind of jobs on there. And so truly, this is about 50% of our local labor workforce that we're trying to solve for. What we're trying to do is give them a platform for upward social mobility. The way we're doing that is we're building out Pakistan's first jobs and professional networking platform, which you can use to go and find a job. You can go and find community, you can go and find networks, and you can go and sort of learn how to give an interview, how to write a CV, you know, where do I go and find jobs, how do I apply for them. And then on the other side, we're helping employers actually hire these candidates also. And we want to make the most efficient job matching and job closing platform in Pakistan.
If I were to ask you about, like, you know, is there, like, do you bring a certain kind of perspective to this thing, this whole thing, where that makes you feel like, okay, you're really qualified to be solving this problem? Or do you have like a team that's already built up? Or do you understand the problem so well that you're like, you know, if someone is going to solve this, it's going to be me?
Yeah, definitely. So I think I feel very, very confident about our team, specifically myself and Shajil as co-founders. So I have a COO called Shajil Usmani, who ironically was the program manager in the consulting product that I was just telling you about, the Punjab Skills Development one, and I was a client. And so we worked together on that about 6 years ago. Why we feel we're qualified, there's a few reasons for this. Number one, we've worked in the jobs and skill development space for about 10 to 15 years now. And so we understand truly, you know, how do we upskill these people? How do we place them into jobs? What are employers looking for? What are job seekers looking for? We've done this as part of Kamai, which was the last venture that we started. It was a recruitment and headhunting firm. So we've helped place over 2,000 people in 750 plus companies over 3 years. And so during that time, we truly learned what are the problems that employers face when it comes to hiring these resources, specifically when talking about small, you know, one-person teams to large multinational companies. We've hired sort of order bookers and writers for 20,000 rupees all the way up to CEOs and CTOs for a ton of money. And so essentially what we've learned over the last few years is what are the problems that companies face when it comes to hiring resources. On the flip side, as a part of Shirjil's work at PSDF, he's helped place over 1,000 people into jobs through those upskilling to employment pipelines. And so what they used to do was this is a sort of marginalized community. How do we help skill these people up and then place them into employment somewhere in southern Punjab? And so because of that work he's done, he's also very, very well aware of what are the problems that job seekers face when it comes to finding jobs, and not just people like myself or yourself who have access to platforms like LinkedIn. I'm going to repeat that because we have a whole different user experience that we've gotten designed for us, and we have a whole different host of tools that we can easily use. But the people that we're talking about, we've helped place them into jobs, and we sort of understand how tough it is for them. What are the barriers they face? Why are they not able to use LinkedIn? Why are they not able to get up on digital platforms like Ozi? And how can we sort of solve those problems? We've helped them get jobs. We've managed them at work. We've been their bosses. You know, we've worked in call centers, retail places. And so we understand the audience really well. That's number one. Number two, I think we, both of us as founders, feel that there is a very strong need to solve this problem. So 60% plus of your population is below the age of 64. In the next 10 years, this audience is going to be the one that is responsible for providing for the rest of the country. And so, you know, when you look at the dependency that we have on this audience as providers, if they are not able to find good jobs, if their salaries are not able to go up, if they're not able to continue to increase in wage the same way that our expenses are increasing and our inflation is increasing, that's creating a ticking time bomb. And so we feel that we're very, very passionate about the problem also and the kind of impact that this can truly create over generations if we're able to do this right. And so, you know, we know the market. We've helped companies hire. We've helped job seekers find jobs. We've built technology solutions before, so we had that idea. And of course, we're really, really passionate about what we're building. And I think the team that we're assembling, we're also building it on the basis of their skill set specific to this problem. So have you worked at this problem before? Have you worked in a company where they've faced this problem before? Have you worked on a program that solved this problem before? And so we're definitely very confident about the team we're building and why we're the right people in this job right now.
I know you talked a little bit about like the challenges that, you know, we might not have as LinkedIn users or, you know, white collar workers that, you know, blue collar workers might have. So can you give me like an more of an example about like, you know, what specific problem that they usually have when they're looking for a job? Is it more on the employer side or is it like more of a job hunting side?
Okay, so I'm going to place an individual in your mind. So let's imagine this guy called Usman. He's started his bachelor's but couldn't complete it from a university in Lahore. He's been working at a call center for about 3 years. He started to work on a salary for about $120 a month. He's 3 years later, he's on a salary of about $125 a month. He wants to be able to increase his salary, but he doesn't know how to go and ask his boss for that raise. He doesn't know what he has to do to be able to get that raise. The second thing is he wants to be promoted at work or he wants a better position elsewhere. But he really doesn't know how he can find that other job. What platform does he go to? How does he create his profile there? Every time he goes and he talks to one of his cousins or his cousin's friends or his, you know, his uncles or his aunts, they'll get them into the door somewhere with a CV. But these guys really don't know how to make a good CV. They don't really know how to give an effective interview. Nobody's really ever taught them these things. And so there's a knowledge and access gap between the white-collar, well-supported worker in Pakistan and the blue and gray-collar worker who could, frankly, be sitting in a call center or in an organization like a Carrefour or an Imtiaz and be working there, but they don't have the tools at their disposal to be able to take them from point A in their career to point B where they should be going. And so there's a very, very, very slow growth in their professional career, in their professional arch, if any, at all. And so the number one issue is that there's no tools that have been created keeping this audience in mind that will really help them grow professionally, specifically digitally. And the reason for that is that we didn't have digital penetration up to about 10 years ago. It really truly happened in the last 10 years, that explosion of sort of smartphone penetration. The other problem is that when you look at this, this is a global statistic, 85% of all jobs are closed based on sort of informal networks and referrals. 85%. And when you look at the fact that their networks are really not very powerful or very useful, it becomes a huge problem to someone who's trying to find work, specifically in an economy like Pakistan, because there's so much network and referral-based hiring. So it is primarily an access and opportunity problem that these job seekers are facing. Of course, there are other issues on the employer end, but I think the first step that we're really focusing on is how do we get these people and with a decent profile, with decent training in front of the employer, and how do we get them into that position for success? Now, whether they're able to get success or not is a secondary problem, but the first problem is how do we even get them there in the first place? So I think that's what we're focusing on right now.
I'm assuming since you've already been part of a business that did recruiting, so I'm assuming here that you basically have a plan, a business model that revolves around charging the employers
Absolutely.
For placing these you know, employees
Yes.
with them. So how does that end of the equation work in
Yeah.
terms of how do you recruit these partners? How do you ensure that the employers that you're bringing in, I know I've heard a lot about scams and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, like, how do you screen for those things and stuff?
That's a great question. There's I think I'm going to give one caveat over here that the recruitment industry in Pakistan is has a really bad reputation because of a lot of scams that a lot of job seekers have faced, a lot of exploitation that a lot of job seekers have faced, both from the companies as well as the recruitment agencies themselves. And so I think this is a huge problem that you've mentioned. So now on to our business model. We essentially, the job seekers that are coming onto our platform, onto our app, onto our other sourcing hires, what we are doing is we are helping them get placed into jobs. How we're doing that is that employers can place jobs on our platform through which they can then hire. So we have a few different commercial models. An employer can say, I want to place a single job post on your platform. So kind of like a LinkedIn or a Rosie or an Indeed or any of these job boards where you can just go and post a job and you get a fixed number of candidates across. With those candidates, the employer can hire as many as they want. We've had up to 12 people hired against a single job, which cost about 2,500 rupees. So I think the focus over there is that any employer who wants to hire someone, they can post a simple job on the platform and get hired. We also provide more detailed services. So this is for larger companies like with Ibex, because what we're doing is that these guys have so much attrition from their staff every month that they need 100, 200 people every single month. And so what we're doing is we're building out these pipelines of talent of people who can just continuously come and apply. We send them to the employer and the employer hires and interviews whoever they feel is relevant for the role. So we're doing all of this in a paid manner. All of the jobs that we have so far have come after the employers have paid for them or have signed these contracts. And so we make sure that we are not getting any fake jobs. We're also doing this in a sort of very equal opportunity manner. So we're not allowing jobs that have a minimum wage. We're not allowing jobs that have a specific preference for females only. And so we're trying to do this in a manner that caters to a wider audience. But there is a huge part about, is the employer legitimate? Are the jobs they're providing legitimate? So we have these basic checks in place. Of course, in our in the last 4 years of running recruitment and headhunting, we've seen a lot of different variations of exploitation from the ends of the employers. And so I think there is a case-by-case judgment that we have to make also sometimes. But since we've just started off, we launched about 3 months ago. We have about 50-odd employers on the platform right now. And we're working very, very closely with them. So because of that direct relationship, we get a very close insight into how are these guys operating? Are they paying above minimum wage? Are they completing all statutory requirements? If they are, let's get them on. Let's have them hire.
I see that, you know, it's a two-sided marketplace. So you have employers, you have employees. So, you know, dono ko khush rakhna padta, right? So how do you work the challenges when it comes to, like, you know, it could be a challenge of being a marketplace or some other challenge. Like, what's been the biggest challenge so far with building those? Then how did you go about, like, solving that problem?
Of course, there's different kinds of challenges that you face when you're running a business. Being a Pakistani company, the macro view on Pakistan is, of course, not great. So when you're speaking to international collaborators, that presents one kind of challenge. The more specific micro-level challenge that we face in our company, I think, is iterating very quickly, because we are building a product that is sort of being built for the first time for this audience. There's a lot of sort of adoption questions. And I'll give you a small example where we've made video profiles a part of our application. And so we want job seekers to create their own intro videos, because we feel that helps employers differentiate between the kind of candidates that they're getting. Adoption is an issue. You know, this is the first time they're going in. They're like, why are they asking us to make a video? Is this a scam? Am I going to get a link somewhere else? Why would they want us to do this? And so getting over that hump of the whys and the whats and the hows, and convincing this audience to do something for the first time. You know, the way people make a CV traditionally in Pakistan is they'll go to their local photocopier and they'll give him 50 rupees and they'll say, these are my accomplishments, can you list them onto a CV? And when we receive that CV, it has their father's ID card number, it has their religion, it has their mother's maiden name, and these are things that are useless to us. And so redesigning that process for an audience, getting them to buy in, and then getting them to participate regularly in a manner that can make our employers happy also. That's the biggest challenge for us, I think. And so what we need to do with that is we need to test stuff out very, very quickly. We need to build, test this out for 2 weeks and iterate on the basis of the results and come up with new solutions for it. And so these days, video profiles is a challenge for us, for example, which is just an example of a micro-level problem that we're trying to solve by some sort of innovation, but the adoption has to be measured, and we have to be sure that this is the right approach. Otherwise, one small mistake from us could really sort of kill the success of the platform in itself. And so we're building it block by block, but each new block or each new innovation that we want to come up with is always a challenge when it comes to implementation, specifically for an audience that is not very used to new kinds of products regularly. So I think that's the biggest sort of challenge for us.
Applicants to create a video and send it to the employer and stuff. Is that a requirement like that you came up with, or was it a feature that employers requested, or is it something that you just decided that would help employers get comfortable as to who they're hiring?
So we try to make the platform on the basis of the requirements of the users. So one of our very important users over here is the employer, because for us, true success in this platform comes when we're able to provide jobs. It's not in number of downloads. It's not in number of users. It is truly in lives changed and people placed in full-time employment opportunities. And so jobs is a big part of it. While we were doing our initial sort of iterations and pilots with one large employer, they mentioned that to them, CVs are kind of worthless because they don't really care what the person's education is. What they truly care about is how well can this person communicate, because it's a call center handling international campaigns. And so can this person speak with the kind of fluency and the kind of accent that I need them to speak with? And so for those employers, what we started trialing was that if we were able to get you snippets or recordings of them talking in English, would that be able to suffice that requirement? They said yes. And in that experiment, it turned out it was very, very useful. So we went and spoke to more employers, and employers said, yes, this is useful. It also helps save time for us when it comes to screening applicants. You know, it's very hard for us to differentiate between five candidates who have absolutely no difference in their CV because their experiences and their education have all been roughly the same. How do we differentiate? We use tools like these. We use tools like an assessment that we have to get every job seeker to fill out before they apply for a job. We're using tools like those to be able to screen applicants out, because like I said, we not only want to make this the main platform for job seekers to be able to find jobs in Pakistan, but we also want to make this a very, very efficient job closing machine for employers, because that's where we feel our monetization and our long-term sort of growth comes in from. Even the way we expect this platform to grow is when we get new jobs in, we get new employers in, we get these large pedigree employers in. That's really able to attract a lot of users onto the platform who usually might not come to the platform, but who will say, oh, look, Ufone's hiring through these guys, or Ibex is hiring through these guys, or Outfitters is hiring through these guys. So I should go and check the platform out. That's how we grab the user for the first time. And so keeping employers happy is a big part of that. Innovating for them is a big part of that. But doing it in a manner where we're not just building out frills over here. We need to make sure that these are actual features that are useful to the employer in the requirement that they have come to us for. So Video Profiles was very much something that came out of a partnership. It came out of a pilot. And so far, it seems to have worked, because it's helping employers reduce time to hire by between 60 to 70%. So it's hugely useful for us. Now, the question then becomes, how well can we implement this? So that's what we're working on now.
When you approach an employer, a prospective employer, you know, they might look at you and be like, you know what, you're just a, you know, startup, you know, that not that old and stuff. You know, how do we have confidence that you will be able to get us the candidates that we want, applicants we want? And like, what's your pitch to them in terms of like how efficiently you will go about running the whole hiring process?
We've faced that problem before. When I started the recruitment and headhunting firm that I started about 4 years ago, I had no background in HR. None of my team did either. We just felt that it was an operation problem. So we heard for about 2 years, we heard this exact point about, you know, we never heard of you guys. Why would we go to you instead of the renowned players in the market? And so we would come up with products that have very low barriers to entry. For the employer, kind of like when you go to an ice cream shop, the guy lets you try about four or five flavors before you pick the one you want. And so we've created our products in a manner where employers can sort of see the kind of profiles they're going to get. If they like that quality, they can come and say, okay, now I'm ready to pay for this product. How do I sign up? So usually our path for an employer starts off with a single job post. Oftentimes we've given it for free because we just want them to come in and try the product. They hire one, they go on to the second one, they go on to the third one, and then they come to us and say, look, let's now figure out a longer-term partnership because we feel like this is working for us. That's one part of it. The second thing is that because of the fact that we've done this hiring before, we're very confident in our ability to close jobs. And so we love getting into a race. We love it when employers tell us, you know, I'm not going to make this an exclusive relationship. We're also using this platform and that platform. To me, that is the ideal position for us to be in because that gives us the chance to be able to prove to them that we are actually better as a job closing machine than other platforms out there. So my operational team actually hates me for this, but I actually request employers to pit us up against another job board or pit us up against another platform because that we're truly able to judge, are we even useful in the first place for this employer? And so we've faced this David versus Goliath problem before. We've gotten to the point where 3 years later with Kamai, we were able to get to a point where employers now come to us and say, you are the preferred choice. We will put options B, C, and D in the back burner. We know we will get there with those also. We have enough partners right now who are working with us to be able to prove success, and we're starting to see word of mouth and referrals in that market also. So it's great for me when we have a non-exclusive arrangement because that gives us a better opportunity to get a longer-term exclusive arrangement, if that makes any sense.
No, that's great. Your responses, your insights that you're sharing about this whole thing is really, it seems like you're really into the product and like you know what you're doing. So let me ask you this. Like, I understand like you are just in Pakistan right now, but do you have any plans or have you been approached by, you know, customers or clients from, outside of Pakistan, trying to get people from Pakistan, like, you know, migrant workers into their country? Or something like that?
We have definitely considered it. What we're focusing on right now is number one, Lahore. We're targeting a few different categories of workers also only. And so we're doing call center workers, customer support, customer success, customer sales. And then we're doing sales and retail sales. These are the two categories that we're working on right now only. We're launching fast food and restaurant operations in the month of June. So these are three categories that we're focusing on only in Lahore right now. We want to make sure that we get the product right first. And so the reason that we're sticking to this small niche of job seekers and employers and a small niche of hirings is that we feel that it's very, very important for us to get the product completely right and see enough repeatable success that we can then go out and say, okay, now we're going to launch in Karachi. Now we launch in Islamabad because we feel that we're truly added value over here for both sides. So for us right now, going international is definitely part of this likely medium to longer term plan. We feel that there is a dearth of sort of similar platforms in the region. So when you go into Egypt or, you know, when you go into Bangladesh or even in the Gulf, there is a lack of platforms like this, specifically also addressing the problem that you're mentioning, which is sending people from Pakistan to these countries. So we have had companies reach out to us and say, let's partner in this, let's figure this out. But right now, we want to focus on what we're building right now. It is definitely a part of the longer-term plan that we have. But I think focus right now is truly on get the product right, get these employers happy, keep them happy, get more jobs in, get more users in, and we'll go from there.
One thing that I would like to learn here is like, you know, you building a startup is difficult. And a lot of, you know, people who listen to the podcast, they are always looking to figure out like, how's the life of being an entrepreneur and, you know, building a startup. So tell me a little bit about how that process has been so far for you.
I think I need to tell everybody who thinks that entrepreneurship is so much fun. It's really not, it's not what it's made up to be. It's very, very different from that. I think when you get into it, you realize how stressful it is. Having said that, I think there are a few things that have really helped me. So the first time we were building our first business out, I thought I knew a lot that upon having completed 4 or 5 years in this now, I realized that I had no idea about. And that's okay. And you surround yourself with people who can support you and guide you during that time. And so this time, I think what we've done very differently, which I wish we'd done earlier, is get mentors and get advisors and get people on our side and in our team who have ran this race before. You know, someone who's gone through it, albeit in a completely different industry with a completely different product, can always give you great insights. And so it's being a founder is often a very lonely, oftentimes a very thankless job also. You know, you work a lot harder and a lot longer, and there's a lot more responsibility than if you were working a job somewhere. But for everybody who is going into this field, it's if you have the kind of support that you need to be able to do this, I know my family was very supportive, my wife, my parents. And so if you do have that support, it is truly very, very fulfilling. It's so much fun. I have a blast coming into work and trying to build something and testing it out. And even on the days when it fails, it's so great to learn that I was so wrong about this. The assumptions that we made on the basis of 10, 20 years of experience, we were so wrong. And you get to learn so much. I think I used to work before this. I was working with Deloitte in London for about 4 years. I feel like I learned more in 2 years of doing this than I did in 6 years of my career, 7 years of my career prior to this. And so there's a lot of learning that comes into us. You have to be open to the idea of being wrong every time. But it's about continuing to go. And I think there's lots of good advice from lots of really world-renowned entrepreneurs, like the Jeff Bezos and Amazon advice of just trying to knock on the door. And if it's the right door, great, go in. If it's not, then go back to the new one and do it quickly. And I think a lot of people in our Pakistani ecosystem are also of the same opinion that, you know, you need to, if you're failing, fail quickly. If you're iterating, learn and iterate quickly. And so that's, I think, the most important thing is be open to feedback, be open to being wrong, learn very, very quickly and adapt. And eventually success comes. We started off Kamai, our last venture, doing something completely different. And it ended up becoming a successful and profitable recruitment and a headhunting firm. This we started off to solve for a particular job seeker and a particular employer. Who knows what it becomes 5 years from now? Maybe it becomes something completely different. But what we do know is we're solving a problem for a specific audience. We want to get these people up for social mobility through a digital product that helps employers hire. How we can do that in the long run, we're very, very open to seeing where this goes. So I think where we are at this point in time, building a product that we really enjoy building, working with employers that we really enjoy working with, and the team that we built is also very open to experimentation, very innovative, and love to try new things. And even if it's a failure, that's okay. As long as we accept it, we feel that's a win. So there's a lot of mental openness and resilience that also comes with this, which you definitely need, as you probably know also.
I have a general idea, of course, never done a startup myself, but I have a general idea talking to so many of the founders that I've spoken to so far, plus interacted with many founders, you know, here, as well as I also work for a startup. So I kind of know the life, how it is, and in general, like how things are approached in a startup versus I used to work at KPMG. So yeah, you're right. I worked there for 3 years and it didn't make any, of course I learned a lot, but then again, when I work 3 years at a startup, that just, takes you so far ahead in terms of what you learn. So that hamster wheel is just really fast. So yeah, thank you so much for being on the Misal podcast. This was lovely. Thank you for being so transparent and open about your journey and telling me all the inside details. So thank you so much. Wish you all the best.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much, Zai, for the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to the Misal podcast. I hope you enjoyed the podcast and will thank me by writing a review or sharing it on social media. Make sure you follow and subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. Thanks again. See you soon.